Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Season 3, Episode 1 of The Umbrella Academy, Meet the Family, and Season 3, Episode 2, whatever the fuck it's called, World's Biggest Ball of Twine.
World's Biggest Ball of Twine. Yay. All right, and we are going to have our usual caveats. It's caveats today. And they include that there will be spoilers if you've not seen Umbrella Academy Season 3. There will be cursing because we can't help it, and there's cursing in the show, so you shouldn't be surprised by that. And we are having things to drink. We've got some good-looking drinks this time. What are you having, Natalie?
I am having a mango daiquiri.
Very tasty.
So if there's ASMR of me crunching on ice, I am so sorry.
And I am having a mocktail, but it is a cool-looking mocktail, and I call this Disco Christopher, which will make sense when you watch this. But it is, the mocktail itself is actually really tasty. I've got tangerine syrup, a little bit of lime juice, and ginger beer. It is quite tasty, and I do also have Christopher in my glass. So if you know, you know. If you don't, you will by names in this episode. So here we go.
Okay, let's get into Season 3, Episode 1, Meet the Family. We start in Seoul, South Korea. Sorry, I almost said North. Sorry.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing.
I fixed it. With a couple kissing and some magic going into the girl suddenly becomes pregnant. And I think what I said out loud is that that's what you get, you whore.
You did say that. You're so, like, judgmental.
I was kidding. And
that was our reaction to the first episode of season.
Yeah, exactly. Nine. That's what I wanted to bring it back because it's an echo of the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Reginald adopts the baby.
He pays for it. He buys it, basically. Yes.
He got a different 7 children for the Sparrow Academy, minus Ben. Ben is the same, kind of. So one guy has super strength. He's number one. He's named Marcus. Faye is a blind ward person.
She has no eyes.
Kind of a brand situation.
She has birds as minions, yes. Basically. All the ravens. Every raven.
And she's number 3. You got Ben, who has the squid tentacles coming out of his stomach.
He's number 2.
Christopher is a cube. And he's number 7.
He glows. It's cool.
He does glow. And I'm sure he does much more. But Jamie is number 6. She spits venom and makes you hallucinate.
Yeah, she also has some fighting skills.
Yeah. And there's Alfonso, who's number 4. And he is someone who, if you punch him or, like, if you, like, hurt him in any way, he can reverse it back to you.
Yeah, he's a rebound guy.
And then there's Sloan, who's number 5, and she can levitate and make people levitate.
Turn things upside down kind of thing.
Yeah, she has, like, a floaty telekinesis-type power. So we go back to where we ended season 2 with people having very different hair. And
I mean, there's a continuity issue.
Like, there. I get it, but Jesus, it's different. And so the hair is better for Ben, but Vanya's hair is so different. It's very slicked down.
It's very
much
fake.
Darker. Very it's very fake. And so, yeah, it's very, very obvious. And there's also apparently a vortex opening up in the basement.
What was the Umbrella Academy is now the Sparrow Academy in the present timeline. So there you see the sparrows on the balcony, interior balcony. There's an earthquake. There's lights floating. I keep calling it like some sort of energy ball, or the rage ball. I do call it the rage ball periodically. Mm-hmm. Reginald tells the sparrows that the umbrellas are all liars, that they're trying to claim that he's their father, but he really isn't. And of course, you know, they do whatever Reginald tells them to do. So they're like, oh, they're lying. We can see very early on in these encounters that Luther is attracted to Sloane.
Mm-hmm.
The sparrow number 5. Diego, and during this, Grace comes in, mother comes in, and you know, all of these umbrella people call it, I'm going to call them umbrellas, it's a habit, going to be a thing. All the umbrellas like call her mom, but Diego really starts talking to her, and it causes her to malfunction. So,
I don't think that's what's causing your malfunction.
Something is causing your malfunction. It may be the rage ball. We don't know.
It might be.
But number six then spits venom on Diego. Mm-hmm. And we head into what is the coolest part of this entire episode. I'm just spoiling that now.
Maybe the whole season.
It could be the whole season, sadly. But it is definitely the coolest thing, which is a
it's a dance off
between the Umbrella Academy and the Sparrow Academy, led by Luther and Marcus for either side, and it is to Footloose, and it's
amazing.
So freaking awesome.
Protecting our honor, bro.
Yeah, that's what Luther tells Diego. And like Diego's like, I'm really good at this. And you get to see each of them kind of really getting into their character being in this dance off. It is hilarious. So they're so serious. Number five is like, he does like this kind of bird move, and he's just so intense. And Klaus is hilarious. As
oh, yeah. His hair is completely different, too. Fives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, Diego's ends up being very different very quickly, too. So
eventually, but at least you looked like you did before for a little bit.
Yeah. So, but in this dance off, Christopher, the glowing cube, becomes like a disco ball and, you know, spreads glitter and stuff all over them. There are great pairings of like people dancing with each other and against each other. It is really, really fun.
Like, you've got Ben and Klaus, which is very sweet. And you've got Diego and Grace. It's just great.
Yeah, it's really great. So, but we find out that, oh, that was just a dream.
It was a hallucination.
It was a Diego hallucination. That was his fantasy, apparently. And then we have Ben. Instead of what really happens is Ben punches Klaus.
Who's trying to tell him, hey, you were dead before.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were just going about your day, your just regular life, and this man shows up and it's just like, you were dead. It's like,
so
okay.
Good to see you. You look so much better alive.
It's like, who are you?
Would you punch him? Would that be your reaction?
I don't think I would punch him, but I would be very confused.
I can see the confusion. I cannot see the punching. But in any case, then there's a, you know, basically a fight ensues. And so Luther then. Diego fights the cube. Luther and Marcus are fighting, and I think Luther punches Marcus into Klaus, and Klaus is like, bad touch, bad touch. It is very...
Marcus pushes Luther into Klaus.
Whatever, it's bad touch. The cube zaps Diego. It's Five versus Ben. Diego and the cube, Diego's yelling, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? While he's riding the cube around. The blind girl uses the eyes of the ravens basically to spy on other people. And the venom girl, I know, I'm never going to remember these people's names, it's sad. Mm-hmm. She spits on Five, and Five starts fantasizing about Dolores.
Who apparently speaks Spanish?
I think it's Italian, but yeah.
Is it? I think didn't it's tell. Either way, it's very funny.
Yeah, it is very funny, and he starts... She has actually has all of her parts, and he starts kissing her and whatever. And I think it's the Venom Girl's like, are they all perverts? Mm-hmm. The rage ball in the basement gets bigger. Klaus then goes to hide, because in this fight it starts to spread out all over the academy, and Klaus goes to hide in Reginald's office. Luther hits Sloane, who was sneaking up on him, but he feels badly about it, and he immediately starts apologizing. Mm-hmm. The bird girl, what is she doing? She's doing something with the birds that chase them, and they peck through the door.
Yes, she sends the birds after Luther and Allison, and they like hide behind one of the bedroom doors, but they peck through the door.
Ick.
This mm-hmm. is like so Alfred Hitchcock.
The birds!
Vanya then blasts the sparrows. The sparrows tell Vanya to leave and not to come back, because everybody else is kind of like run away at that point. They go to a park, the umbrellas do. Luther is like whining about, I've never had my ass handed to me like that. It was like they're just sitting there saying to me, here you go, it's your ass.
Very funny.
And then they start to realize, oh wait, Yvonne's not here.
Klaus tells the family that Reginald was so repulsed by them in the 60s that he adopted other kids.
Yeah.
And then Five tells them that he doesn't have the briefcase, It somehow just.
But this, the one important thing is the 5 points that the whole timeline has changed because of Reginald's actions. The whole timeline has changed, and so
I think that would be rather obvious.
It should be obvious, but for reasons that follow or
whatever. Then we go over to Grace, who brings the briefcase. Who, like, she's programmed to just be as hospitable as possible. So she sees a piece of luggage on the floor. She brings it to where all the other luggage is kept. And so she takes it down into the basement where the vortex is, and she sees it, and she's like, oh, wow. Anyway, then we see a random guy with a briefcase that says Lester Pocket in the woods, packing in a hurry, and he is shaking. That's about it for him. Mm-hmm. Allison wants to find Claire, but they need to lick their wounds first. So Klaus takes the family to the Hotel Obsidian, where no one will ask questions. Of course, he knows those kinds of
things. This is cute, though, because they all pile into the revolving door and into one segment of the revolving door and kind of fall out of it. It's cute.
Mm-hmm. Then Allison tries to call Patrick, her ex-husband, and leaves a message. Luther gives up his watch for two rooms, and so they all have to, like, go do co-ed. And Diego wants to fight the sparrows.
What's that, co-ed? They said
no. Sorry, not co-ed. What? Forget what I said. Anyway, Diego wants to fight the sparrows to prove that they're better, and wants Reginald to we'll prove that we're better than them and Dad will love us more. It's like, yeah. Okay.
No, that's really not how that works, Diego.
The sparrows are working out. Like they're how the Umbrella Academy are talking about how, oh yeah, no, we kicked some of their asses today. They're probably licking their wounds too. No, they're all working out. They're totally fine. And they are not licking their wounds at all. Marcus is kind of hard on the Academy. It's just like, look what Vanya did. We could have prevented that. It's like, no, you couldn't have, but sure. I mean, I guess if you killed Vanya, that would help, but either way. And so he's very hard on them, and then they ask Reginald for an analysis of the Umbrella Academy. He tells them not to underestimate the Umbrella Academy and that he might have misjudged them.
Right. He initially is kind of like, oh, they're disloyal, you know, they're not disciplined, et cetera, et cetera. And Ben's starting to think, oh, we can beat them because they have no loyalty to each other. But it becomes clear to Reginald as he's speaking that, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, they did it out of the 60s. They did
save the world in the 60s. What about that?
Mm-hmm. The Umbrella Academy go to their rooms. They're like choosing bunk beds. It's funny. Diego wants to act, but everyone else wants to relax. Especially Five, who's been doing this for 2 weeks straight, like saving the world for 2 weeks straight. And so it's technically everybody else, but they got at least a bit of a reprieve during their time in the 60s, kind of. Allison and Vanya commiserate about lost loves, Sissy and Ray. Vanya encourages Allison to go back to her real life and go back to try to find Claire, who she expects to exist because reasons. Anyway, random guy is stressed on the bus. The random guy with the briefcase from earlier is stressed on the bus and plays a tape of Bees in his Walkman. Okay.
And so we start to realize this guy's got some problems. Issues and likes to listen to noises that are weird. Who strange. Else do I know like that?
I wonder who it could be.
I have no idea.
Vanya meets with Marcus and talks to him about how they don't want a war. Marcus is worried that they will upstage them, though, because they're the only gig in town, really. So, I mean, they don't want the Umbrella Academy to try and take their place. But Vanya threatens to fight him in a one-on-one battle, and she says, I ended the world twice.
And they're both kind of like, and Marcus is intimidated because, of course, the way he describes it, it's like they have this totalitarian regime where, like, no one will come after us because we are the Sparrow Academy and we rule the universe kind of thing.
But I suppose that's what the Umbrella Academy could have become, but I don't think that any of them really got to that point.
Mm-mm.
Except for maybe Luther kind of close, but
no, Luther
still has a heart. Anyway, she says he has something she needs and wants it back. The conversation is witnessed by one of Faye's birds, who comes back, and she tells Ben.
I just keep calling her Bird Girl.
Okay, who tells Ben Five is concerned, and Ben's like, I'll take care of it. Five is concerned because they're worried that he's making a deal with Vanya, which he kind of is, but he kind of also wants the best for the Sparrow Academy as well.
Right.
Five is concerned about where their other selves are. Since they weren't adopted by Reginald, they must be somewhere. And he says, if you see your doppelganger, you should. Diego says, kill them. Klaus says, sleep with them. And Five's like, no, avoid them. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Diego then, like, a knife is thrown in his direction and, like, hits his chair or something. And he looks back and he sees Lila randomly there with a briefcase.
And she runs away.
And she's blonde now. And Diego goes to her to talk to her. She reveals they had a son, Stanley, and was dropping him off. And she's like, yeah, I've had him for 12 years. It's your turn.
It's like dropping him off for visitation or something. It's like this totally weird custody.
Weird. Marcus then is back at the Sparrow Academy. He looks for the briefcase in the basement. He finds Grace worshiping the vortex.
She's worshiping the rage ball. And what Marcus is, holy shit. And she's like, yes, but she's got like all of these weird chalk symbols like drawn into the floor. And you know, it's some sort of weird message. She can hear words or some kind of message coming from the vortex.
You can start hearing it too.
Yeah. But it's very hard to distinguish what it is. Mm-hmm. Marcus reaches out to touch the vortex and a shockwave goes through him and it goes out into the world and kind of hits the hotel and goes all over the place. Marcus then disintegrates.
Along with other things, like a puppy.
Yeah, there's a dog that's obliterated. Five says, Five, meanwhile, they're completely unaware of this. And he's like, hey, we won. He's getting really overconfident. Like, we actually did what we were supposed to do. We saved the world. We're back in 2019. Things rock. Mm-hmm. But that's the end of the episode.
Yes. Best parts. The dance battle, obviously. Yeah, Diego awesome. Is very funny. Christopher mm-hmm. is hilarious. I love the concept of Christopher. Klaus is funny. Five is funny. Vanya and Allison are... It's nice to see them supporting each other. And Luther.
You have more than I do. Okay. The dance-off I thought was really, really great. I love Klaus. I think Klaus and Five were very funny. I'm relieved that Vanya's finally not being a complete tool. and we're starting at a season where Vanya knows where her powers are. She's like kind of using them. This is unprecedented. It's really a different direction for this to go. So I came into this thing, I'm optimistic about the season. Things could happen. Mm-hmm. But what were your worst parts?
Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus is a dickhead.
Mm-hmm. Reginald.
Reginald.
Allison assuming Claire exists.
Yeah, that's so, the whole so Allison thing to me. And it gets worse in the next episode. Because there's a lot of continuity.
Because stupid. When you think about it, and I'll wait until we get to that part. Amnesia bullshit is mentioned. Lila and Stan, I don't like I kind of like the idea that Diego has to have some more responsibility and not just like throw himself into danger, but he's going to do that anyways, Diego. Yeah. But I don't like them just tacking on a child character for no reason. Like Five obviously is not like a typical child character.
He's like
technically super cool. Older than all of them. Not combined, but technically older than all of them, and he is mature and he's the one who comes up, plans all that stuff. We don't need a whiny child. This is not what we watch Umbrella Academy for.
No, all it has to do with his mommy.
Yeah, and Grace is just weird.
I didn't even put Grace down. My worst parts were just Marcus, Allison, and Reginald. What grade did you give this episode?
A-.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Maybe a B+.
I gave it a B+.
Yeah, it might be a B+.
It's just not that great. I love the dance off, but other than that, it's kind of like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Season 3, episode 2, World's Biggest Ball of Twine. Luther goes on a run and the crow watches a murder.
Oh, no, you forget that they're right at the beginning, they show a newspaper cutting that showed that Reginald was involved in cutting the ribbon at the Hotel Obsidian. It's going to come back later.
Yes, sorry. Then a murder of crows show up along with Chris, Christopher, I think, yes, is what I meant, and chase him. The sparrows show up and knock Luther out. Then Allison goes to her home in Los Angeles, I suppose, and thinks of Claire and all of her time, her many times with her child, aka the one thing they've shown us. And she finds a different child in the bed, and that Patrick has married another woman.
And they're all kind of like, what the fuck are you doing in our house?
I have a few things that I'd like to say. First of all, how does she have a key to this house? Second of all, she...
There's so much.
Is there any reason why Patrick would like move to this house rather than a different house? Whatever. Third, why did she think that she would like even be there to have Claire? Like, I mean, I understand you think that. Okay. Here's my thing: if you never went to the Umbrella Academy. Or like left when you were like what 17,
mm-hmm.
like you probably wouldn't have gone into Hollywood. You wouldn't have honed your skills enough to like even rumor yourself into Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's where she met Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would you think that you would even be like together with Patrick or have a child, let alone have a child with Patrick? And also, you don't know if it would have been Claire. It could have been a completely different child that you have
later.
I know. And I think that's so weird because one thing with time travel and that kind of stuff, I think it was best described in About Time.
I was thinking that was going to come up.
Exactly. In About Time, he can't travel back in time from before the birth of his kids because it is so delicate which sperm fertilizes the egg. So you don't know if you're going to get the same child if you come back. Like, it's a very particular time when that happens. And so he comes back and he's like, oh my God, there's a different child.
Right.
I'm not used to this child. I it's not that I won't love this child, but it's different. And so he travels back and he fixes it and he's like, I can't travel past the birth. Mm-hmm. So tell me, Allison, why did you think that you were going to have the exact same child? Also, you were content staying in the fucking 60s without your child. I did not hear a whisper of Claire until like the end of season 2. I forgot she existed. And yeah. So apparently did you. So I don't really think that it's like,
well, I mean, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of like basic within this timeline fucked up bullshit too. So like they don't have enough money to rent rooms at the Hotel Obsidian. And yet somehow she is able to get a flight. And you'll see the other end of this. She is able to get a flight to Los Angeles, have this whole incident occur, and get back in less than 24 hours.
She can rumor them. She could rumor her way onto a flight.
With no money.
Yes.
And no.
She can be like, I have a rumor, you don't care that I don't have money.
And you don't care that I have a boarding pass. And you don't get, I mean, Jesus.
It's a lot of rumoring, but she could do it. That's the only thing I can think of. But either way, it's stupid. And also, she got her hair done, like, in between, like, getting on the... She had time, apparently.
I got time.
You don't care about your child enough. You got a fucking haircut before you went to see your fucking child. You don't deserve to see your child, then. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Hey.
I was kidding. Anyway, Vanya looks in a book and sees that the family was noted as some of the many people who might have been involved in JFK's death. Sissy apparently died on October 1st, 1989, which is aka their birthday. Oh,
what's up with that?
Whatever.
Again, it will come up later.
Yeah, of course it will. Vanya starts having an existential crisis about her gender. She gets a short haircut at a male salon. And mm-hmm. then we go over to Klaus and the boys.
This is so funny. I mean, so yeah, Klaus has... They're in their room and he has briefs on his face and he wakes up to them, he's disgusted, he throws them at Luther and lays them on Luther's face and Luther doesn't even seem to notice. Klaus has a little note information.
I saw Luther's face. Luther was kidnapped.
Klaus has information on his mom in the heel of his boot.
he also he meets five dancers. Five has like the
he looks like a retired old man on a fishing trip.
Well, I mean, by old man we're talking like 70-year-old man. Yeah, it's just really, really bad.
I mean, people say act your age.
I mean, I guess that's what he thinks is attractive.
Diego has a better haircut.
Yes, Diego has a better haircut. Vanya has changed her name to Victor. Well,
he's come out as Victor,
right? And everyone's very accepting of it,
which is very nice,
which is good.
And now we can use the proper pronouns because now he's a he.
He's a he. So, but part of it was really funny is Diego talks about how he tried to homicide.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Talking about Marcus, because Victor is talking about, I met with Marcus and I'm trying to make this deal. And Diego's like, he tried to homicide us. Mm-hmm. That is not actually a verb. Victor thinks that the plan has worked. Not everyone is happy with the timeline, but Five's ecstatic. He's just ecstatic that he has retired. He doesn't have to work anymore. This is exactly how he thought things were going to turn out. Klaus is concerned that Five is suddenly wearing aftershave. Like, is he going through puberty again? What is going on with him? And there's another shockwave that goes out from the Rage Ball at the Sparrow Academy. Klaus wants to go on a field trip with Five.
Well, yeah, and Five notices that some lobsters are missing from the tank from earlier. So maybe the Rage Ball took them. He doesn't know what the Rage Ball.
Hungry Rage Ball.
Okay. Diego tries to parent his child better than Reginald, but he's not doing a great job.
His idea of parenting is hilarious. So he is trying to have a talk with the kid because the kid was like stealing food or something from the buffet. He stops the kid and he's like, look, I've got shit to do. You can't get in the way of my shit. The kid's ear starts leaking and it smells and it's disgusting. He's like, oh yeah, I don't have my ear medicine. Stan, I'm never going to remember this child's name. It's just very sad. And Victor's very upset that everyone's leaving. Grace is tending to Luther at the Sparrow Academy. And Luther wakes up and he thinks they're all there to attack him. But he finds that they have this really cool smoothie bar and they have, you know, just all these health foods and training facilities. And he's just very, very impressed.
He's in fitness heaven.
He is in fitness heaven. He talks to Ben about how Ben had been dead in their world for 17 years or 16 years.
How are you supposed to respond to that?
Right. But Ben and the Sparrows are convinced that the Umbrellas took Marcus. And they are trying to basically, you know, do a hostage exchange with Luther for Marcus. Luther does point out that, you know, they'll come for me, but it's not going to be like a super organized thing because discipline's not really our strong suit. And Ben is just shocked. Like, well, how, you know, you're number one. You should know everything that's going on. Everyone should answer to you. And Luther's kind of like, that's not how that works. Mm-hmm. But Luther gets up. He's like, well, I'll go talk to him. We'll see if, you know, if we have Marcus, we'll get him back. No problem. And Ben uses one of his tentacles to keep Luther there. Victor brings breakfast to Allison, who is, you know, just hysterically crying for, she's not hysterical, but she's crying.
Like, I get it. Like, I just think that at this point, you have not seemed to have thought much about Claire this entire time.
What's just the Claire thing? It's like, what on earth did you expect was going to happen? Her expectations were unrealistic.
I agree. But, I mean, we're here now. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway. Yeah, she's grieving, but whatever.
Right. She's like, I just can't believe, you know, this is that. What if we screw this up again? What if Five screws up another time jump again? If we get the briefcase,
I think
I can't stand not being with Claire.
I think, oh god, this turned into Outlander. I think that it's gotten to the point with Allison, like, if this was straight from season one to season three, I think I would understand her reasoning better. But with her having more experience with like time travel and, well, more experience than most with time travel and understanding that things change and it's a possibility that you just didn't have Claire. And I think it's really dumb for her to just be like, yeah, I think that Claire should have been here. And again, like I said before, you wanted to stay in the 1960s without Claire. Like I don't know. I think that she didn't show that much remorse in the 60s about not having Claire, and that's why I'm confused about why she's so worked up now. But I don't know. I understand it's like what you don't have, and one of the main reasons she came back to this timeline was to find Claire. But I mean, she had to understand that things were going to change. Anyway,
this is really funny though. This whole situation with Lila.
But well, first I also said in my notes, Claire wouldn't have existed if you stayed in the 1960s too. Like, true. What? Yeah, Victor tells her the plan about Marcus and meeting up with him to exchange to get the briefcase from him. They'll like stay at the cafe that they were at last night. And they are going to get the briefcase from Marcus when he comes by, but they don't know that's not going to happen. Anyway, Lila tries to use her briefcase, but it doesn't work. And so she gets mad and just breaks it apart.
Part of what I love about Lila, though, is it clearly what she has done in the 2019 timeline is that she drops off her kit and goes shopping. And she has like bags of, you know, like records or something. It's absurd. She when the briefcase doesn't work, she starts beating it, and it's just not cool. Meanwhile,
Five and Klaus would go on a road trip in a British car
reason. Is driving this British car, which is bizarre.
I don't know why it's British. Klaus eventually tells Five thinks it's just a road trip to see the sights. Nope. Klaus says they're going on a road trip to find his mom. Five wants to see the ball of twine, and so he makes...
There's a giant ball of twine. It's one of those, like, roadside...
Attraction
things.
And so he makes Klaus pull off to the side of the road to go see the ball of twine. And then we go over to Victor, who's come out to Allison. And Allison keeps trying to interrupt him by being like, I should have known! It's like, he's like, I didn't really... fully know myself, so no, you shouldn't have, and like all that stuff, and she just won't shut up, and I'm like, okay, Allison, you're really getting my last nerve. And then Klaus and Five look at the ball of twine. Klaus says he stole the info from Reginald when he was high.
Info about his mother.
Yes. He calls Five Tiny Dancer.
There's another line in here. They talk about the Umbrella Academy being the Institute for Snarky Delinquents.
Yeah, that's good. Then Diego and Stan stop by a convenience store to get ear medicine, and they see Jamie and Alfonso, and he immediately wants to attack them.
I refer to Jamie as ugly guy. No, Jamie as spinning girl, and Alfonso as ugly guy. Sorry.
We know that's prosthetics. It's okay.
I don't care.
And then he ends up fighting them and
Quando
plays.
Tell me Quando.
That is not the melody. Stan joins the fight and gets his leg scratched when he threw a knife at Alfonso. They leave after knocking the sparrows down. Five and Klaus go to
all I could write for that was great parenting, Diego. Well done. But when they leave the drugstore, the kid doesn't want to leave. And Diego says to him, "Hugh who fights and walks away lives to fight another day." And the kid says, "That's lame as shit."
Yeah. Very much his father's child.
Also Lila's child, for
very
sure.
Very Lila's child.
Mm-hmm.
Five and Klaus go to an Amish town to find his mother. Klaus asks some people about his mother, but they say she isn't there. Luther and Sloan work out together, and he's enjoying himself. Luther tells her about how they let their expectations slip when Ben died. Their expectations for the Academy slip when Ben died. Sloan says she doesn't want to be there, actually, and wants to explore the world. He tells her about the moon and his time there, and she thinks it's really cool. And he's like, you're serious? You actually think it's cool that I went to the moon? I'm like, dude, most people would think that you just talk to your family only. She sees the security camera in the room move, and so she knows she's being watched, and so she changes her mood and asks him for like where he's staying and where the family's staying, and he's about to tell her, and he's like, "Oh wait, you're just trying to trick me. I see how this is. That's why you thought it was, I should have known better than to think that you actually were interested in the moon." And then we go over to Five.
I love this because another one of these waves goes out from the rage ball, because part of what happened when Bird Girl comes in and interrupts Luther and Sloane talking, and that's when the rage ball sends out another wave. The wave goes all the way out to where Five and Klaus are, and Five realizes that it kills all of the cows in the pasture next to where they're parked. And he's like, "Can I get a fucking day off?" And this coming from Aidan Gallagher, like, and I will note this, we have watched some of the YouTube videos. He was 14 when they started filming The Umbrella Academy. And so he really is a very young person compared to these other people. So this action performance is exceptional.
Extremely good.
I know. I mean, being the jaded old working guy is just super funny. But we then cut to Grace, who is offering cookies to the rage ball. She's like, "I didn't know what kind you'd like." We turn back to Klaus and the Amish. So there was a
Olsen and Victor.
No, I must have skipped.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. I skipped ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're Klaus in the woods. So Klaus had gone up to a barn where there was a woman who was skinning a rabbit, asked for Rachel, who is his mother, and the men came out and they kind of ran Klaus off. He is kind of wandering off through the woods. He runs into the woman who is setting rabbit traps, and he asks again about Rachel, and she says, "Rachel was my sister. She died 30 years ago on October 1st, 1989. Hmm. And Klaus is like, Then we have Victor and Allison. They are Allison in the diner. Allison
is falling apart.
Yeah, she's having PTSD, like flashbacks to being in diners in the 60s. Victor's trying to explain, like, look, Five's an asshole, but, you know, he understands. He's not a monster. He understands why it's important to get this right, and that we need to get this right in this next jump, whatever it is. Then we see Klaus over. He is, I can't even remember. He's running away from the Amish, like
Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. He comes over a hill and he's yelling to Five, "Start the car, start the car," like start the plane.
Five is doing calculations all over the exterior of the car, trying to figure out what went wrong, I guess, in this time dump and why there's this weird anomaly going on.
Where cows are just dying.
Where cows are all dying. So they jump, they get in the car. The woman shoves a notebook into Klaus's hands. And it's like, "This is from your mom. It's all about your mom." So Klaus is looking at...
She says, "Rachel's death was unusual and she wasn't the only one."
Right. So she shoves this notebook at Klaus. Klaus starts reading it while Five is driving away. And again, still British car, bizarre.
Yeah.
But what Klaus realizes is that his mom died before Klaus was born.
Yep. Allison is having hallucinations. The old guy from before, the guy with the briefcase from before, he is looking at Allison. So she follows him into like a random shady alley. I don't know why she went there, but fine.
Yeah, the old guy on the bus, the one who was listening to the
B guy. But she loses him, but he's watching her from a fire escape. Whatever. I don't care. They let the spares let Luther go. They give him a tote bag full of goodies, and he lets them go with the message to let Marcus go. Lila finds the briefcase using Faye's powers of like the crow flying down there and grabbing it and then giving it to her. And she's excited about that. Diego complains to Victor and Allison about Stan, and Allison's just like, "At least you have a child." It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Allison's... I can't. Five and Klaus get back and tell the family about their mother's dying.
Because it's just their mothers, apparently, that were killed before their birthdays.
Yeah, the person playing Klaus... Oh, sorry, I wrote a note. I, for whatever reason, looked into this because I was curious, and I feel like I looked it up before. But Tom Hopper's wife plays Klaus's mother.
Oh, does she? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Well, she didn't show up in this episode, but I wanted to write down the fact before I forgot. But yeah, as far as I know, that's who that is. So
we haven't seen her yet.
Anyway, five is worried about the grandfather paradox, which could come into effect. Sloane, Luther is leaving, Luther looks up at Sloane's bedroom and she's like out peeking out the window, and she like levitates him up to her room. Oh, they're
playing higher love. It's hilarious.
She levitates him up to her room. She apologizes and says that she meant every word that she said, and she was being watched before, and that's why she was acting weird. And so they kiss and levitate. It's very cute.
Bring me a high.
I was initially like against them being together because I wanted him and Allison to be together, but no.
I'm over Allison.
I remember by the
end of the season being over Allison. It's like I'm over Allison already.
Oh, me too.
So what were your best parts in this episode?
The family's acceptance of Victor. That's very sweet. Christopher is an icon. Klaus and Five going on a road trip in general is very funny. And Luther and Sloane.
Oh, you again have more stuff than I do. I've got Luther. I really like Luther again. His earnestness in this is really good. I love Klaus. I love Five because I always love Five. And Diego's kid. I love this kid's like this lame shit. You know, I think it's very, very funny. Just the way the kid behaves. Funny.
I just think it's very useless.
There's a lot of uselessness.
But also, I would like to add to. Well, actually, no, I'll put that in the worst part. So my worst parts are Allison assuming everything was normal, and Stan. Stan is just so pointless to me. I don't get the point of him having a kid. It just is so odd to me. Also, I'd like to say I hate that the family didn't notice Luther's disappearance until the very end of this episode. I'm like, you guys weren't thinking, hey, where's our brother?
I didn't put that as the worst part, but it is a worst part. Other worst parts for me are like Ben and the bird girl are super like,
yeah, I agree.
They're like regimented into this weird. It's just weird. I don't like the Allison thing with all this. Yeah, whatever. What grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it a B. It's okay.
It's okay.
It might not even be a B, but I just didn't feel like putting in the effort.
Like, I was considering a B plus, but I think
it's not a B plus. Although, the stuff with Klaus and Bob is really pretty funny. I like having Klaus and Bob together. That is a good thing.
That is fun.
That is a good thing. Well, we have a lot more of season three that we need to cover with you all. And, you know, just for those of you who are listening to other episodes of this podcast, you know that we are very anxious to be. Moving through the Umbrella Academy season three because Bridgerton season three is coming. So we are excited. We hope that you join us and
cheers.